Good morning, Masechta Matzia, Daf Tet Zayin. And we're starting at the bottom of Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet. So we are about, exactly, after the bottom, the top of the third, right? At the end of the line, the word starts Bain. The line starts with the word Bain. We just finished Shukha. We saw yesterday, we got a similar case to Kiddushin, where we had both the cases where if he takes the land and he gave it as a pikadon or he's given it as a matanas, of course, why didn't he say it? And he said, they wouldn't have believed him, we would have been embarrassed, we wouldn't have taken the money. And then we said, similar situation in Kiddushin, and we said, that's why we had the machlokin in both cases. Now, what's the question? Let's dedicate this year, Ilui Nishmati, where he died in this war, soldiers and civilians, all the Ptuim, Chatufim, mentioned Daniel, Shimon, Ben Sharon, and others, should all be returned home quickly, and we should matzliach. Okay, so we saw that Rabbi Shmuel Machloket, whether the money is a pikadon, then he gave the guy, or the money is a matan, then he gave the guy. But bottom line, everybody agrees he didn't buy the field. Okay? So on that, the Gemara's a question. Bain le Rav, he done a pikadon. So the whole purpose was a pikadon, right? And Rashi explains, we thought early on, this Machloket, and Bain le Shmuel, so it was a matana that he gave him a gift, and it wasn't really the purpose of buying. So hi Lara, but my kenachi the bedechach. So bottom line, how did the guy behave like a balim? How did he go into the land, farm the land, work the fields, etc., eat the fruits? It's not his. Or either the money was there, he gave the money to the guy just to keep for him until eventually he got it back. It was a loan, or he gave it to him as a matana. But he had no purpose in actually ever. He knew this land was never going to be his. So how could he do it? Right, so that's the Gemara says. Bain Rav Adama Pikadon and Bain Shmuel Echsavar. So the Gemara says, no. What was he thinking? Ana Ichut LaAra, VeAvid VeIchu BeGave. He says, I'll take possession of the land in the meantime. VeAvid and I'll work the field. VeIchu and I'll eat the field, eat the produce. Ki Echidav VeKavid Ihu. Right, just like the other guy was there before me. VeLechiati Mare Dare Zuzan Nahave. And then when the real guy claims, comes and wants his land back, so then I'll go and claim my money back. Lerado and Picadon. Picadon, I'll give my Picadon back from the guy. And the Shmuel Matana Matana. Okay, so that's basically how the Gemara works. That's how the Gemara source that says it. This was going through the guy's mind. He knew it was just a short-term story. Hello there. Right, so Amar Rava. Now Rava sort of summarizes the last dup or two dup which we've seen now. So Amar Rava, Hilchata. Pasuk, what's halacha? First case, yesh lo ma'ot v'yesh lo shevach. Okay, look at Rashi says, yeah, but plukta kamaita yesh lo ma'ot v'yesh lo shevach. Right? We had it at the very beginning there, we had machloket Rav and Shmuel, right? Whether he's got the nigzal gets the lokach, sorry, that gets loses his field. If he gets back the money and the shevach, Rav says yes, he gets and the shevach. Afa pi shelo piresh lo ta shevach. Even though it wasn't agreed upon in advance, makes no difference, right? He gets the shevach. Look at Rashi. Veleitlan de Shmuel damar shevach tzarich limalech. And we don't pass nach Shmuel over here. Interesting, hey? Remember we mentioned halacha Rav Shmuel. If we don't pass, not pass nach Shmuel. Rashi straight out, according to Rav at least. That says that the sofer would have to consult or not consult his opinion. He says like as abish lo piresh lo et hashe, gets the shevach irrespective. Second case, he kir bashan shelo, he knew the land wasn't his velakha, maot yesh lo shevach eno. So now if he knows he was buying stolen goods, in this case says Rava, he only gets the capital back, not the shevach. Now what about achrayut? When we had a case where the machloket, what about achrayut? Again, there with Rabbi Meir, Rabbanan, we said, how come Rabbanan? Because Rabbanan said that Achrayut Ta'ut Sofer, Rabbi Pask Zalocha, Achrayut Ta'ut Soferu. Right, look at Rashi, Vachrayut Ta'ut Soferu, Veleitlan de Shmuel de Amar Shibu Tzarich Limalech. Same thing, right? And Rashi says, yeah, we don't pask in Ach Shmuel. Second time he says this, Veleitlan de Shmuel de Amar Shabu Tzarich Limalech. There's no, it's all Achrayut. Assumed, implied Achrayut. Bain b'shitra halva'a, bain b'shemekha mekha. And Rav says it makes a difference whether it is a loan document or a deed of sale. Achrayut.
What's the malech?
To go and consult with. Like, you got to go and get, when you got to, when you, we saw an opinion that Shmuel said, that when you, remember he quoted the software, he said to the software, go and ask the seller if he's taking it upon himself all that whole list of things. There was Shefi and Shevach and if you go back to Tetvav Amud Aleph, go back to Tetvav Amud Aleph, turn back in Amud. Right, look like just above the half. We said Sava Shmuel. לוקח מגרז נלט לשיבחה, ואמר לשמואל לרב חינן בר שאלת, אמליך, go and consult, and Rashi said, I think חינן בר שאלת was a sofer, right? רב חינן בר שאלת, sofer היה. Okay, we'll consult, inquire, whatever, right? וחתוב, and then right into the star, שופרה, שיבחה ופירי. So the question is, you got to check with the mocher if he's accepting all those things upon himself or not. He says, yeah, Rav, it makes a difference. We don't have Pask Nachshu, you've got to go first and ask. It's implied, it's there. Okay, that's the story. That's basically the end of it. Now, Gemara brings the story. Shmuel Mirav. So Shmuel Oshav Akasha. Chazar V'lakcha Mibarim Arishoni Mahu. Now we're going to start discussing for the next end of this Amud and the beginning of next Amud. Now we've got a Gazlan over here who it seems like he's doing a bit of Chazora, a bit of Tshuva. Okay, it seems like he's doing tshuva. What happens? He stole the field as a gazlan, put a head of the gun in his head, get off the field, went and sold it to somebody, and now, says Shmuel, right? Lost my place, sorry. Rav Chazar v'lakcha. Now he goes and he buys the field, he pays the original nigzar, right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says Chazar Gazlan. The Gazlan goes back. V'lakcha mibalim arishonim la'achar shemachal lokeach. After he sold it to the other guy, he goes and pays the nigzah. Mibalim arishonim mahu. What's the story? Look at Rashi. Amahu liot b'makom balim kilu lakcha acher v'yot siyua miyad lokeach. So the other question is, where was the Nigzal's field and the Gazlan had started from the Nigzal and he sold it to somebody else? The Nigzal could come along and evict the guy from his field. Get off my field, it's my field, right? Now that the Gazlan has bought the field from the Nigzal, does he suddenly have the rights of the Nigzal now to go and evict the guy he sold the field to? He said, get off my field, right? Yeah, that's the question, right? Get off my field, Mo. So Amar Lei. Right, so Rav says to Shmuel, Amalei, look at Rashi over here. Lo matzi mafuke, can't get him off. Shekeshe machar, because when he sold the field, this is the svara. So when he sold the field to this poor innocent buyer, right? Shemachar machar lo kol zchut shtavol liyado. He didn't just sell him what he had; he sold him what he has and all rights he will have in the future. Ukeshe lakcha of the field. And now, when he bought the field from the Nigzal, lo lekcha ele kadesh tehem mekuyam bi'alokach. Why did he do it? Did it as a tzaddik to do tshuva, to give back to him. In other words, whatever he bought the rights, he sold the rights of what he had and what he would get. When he sold the field, he never really owned the field. But he sold with the intent that whatever any rights he would have would be sold to the lokach. And now he bought the field, so those rights that he bought were sold already. That's what Rav says. Right, Amalei, Ma'amah Chalor Rishon Hashayni. Call back in the Gemara. Call Zchut Shtavol Liyado. So one says, Ma'a Taima. Why? So Marzutra Amar, Nichelei Delo Nikre Gazlana. The Gazlan didn't want to be called the Gazlan his whole life. He suddenly had a change of what? Or suddenly he became emotionally, he suddenly became a sensitive guy. Right? He I don't know, maybe saw the light. And now he suddenly thinks, you know, he put a gun in the guy's head, it was okay. But now suddenly he's feeling bad about it all. They're running around town calling him a gazlan. Rav Ashi Amar, he says, no, a different reason why he did it. Why did he do it? Nichelei deliku behimnute. So the first reason seems to imply that he doesn't really care, just it's a complex that he's got. All right, look at Rashi. Shelo yechrefenu lokeach zeh. He shouldn't like bad mouth him. Kshotzenu nigzal miyado v'yikrenu gazlan. Lecha chozer. But Rav Ashi says, no, Nichelei deleku behimnute. Really, the guy's an honest guy. He sold the guy something and he wants to produce. He wants to supply the goods. Didn't really want to sell stolen goods. So the one is all about him and the one's all about the other guy. Correct? So now, my bad, I'm going to say, what's the nafkina between the two cases, between the two answers? Whereas Ikabenayu demit lokach. The one nafkin would be if the buyer died. Man da benichred lo likra gazlan. Now the guy says he doesn't want to be called the gazlan. Amitla, the guy's dead. So what do we care? He's not going to be called the gazlan anymore. So maybe he wouldn't care. Then what's the reason why he went to buy it? And I think it was Rashi who said that because he wants to prove that he was honest, right? So then, then we can understand that he wants to be honest in front of his sons as well. In other words, according to the first answer of Rabbuna, he wouldn't really rush to do it because the guy's dead. That was going to call him a gazlan. But according to the second answer, he still want to be a good, honest guy, even in the eyes of his son. Because I don't understand. What's the difference? Sof, karulei bane lokeach gazlan. I mean, that doesn't matter. Because in the end of the day, if you tell me that the guy dies, then it makes no difference. But then the guy's kids are going to call him a gazlan. Mm. Yeah, it's not going to stop calling him a gazlan. Because, okay, you're right. The Gemara says, that can't be the nafkamina. So there's another nafkamina. The Gemara says, ikabenai, what's the nafkamina? Demit gazlan. Not that the lokeach dies, the gazlan dies. The guys you don't want to be called gazlan. Now he's dead, he doesn't care anymore. Let him call him what he wants, he's dead. So therefore, if he was gonna buy it and he died, right? If he did buy it, I suppose he doesn't know he's gonna die though, that's the truth. When he buys it. But once he's bought it, does he want it? Is he if he's
we
dead?
We all know we're gonna die at some point.
Yeah, we all know we're gonna die, but we hope it's not gonna be tomorrow. Right? So he didn't buy it today, didn't think there's a chance to die tomorrow. In fact, on the contrary, all of us think we're never going to die. Yeah, that's the truth. We live our lives like we're never going to die. We deep down, we believe, we know we're going to die. We live our lives that we're not going to die. Right? Mm-hmm. So he says,
thank God.
He says, thank God. The person's supposed to live every day as if it could be his last, and that's why he does tshuva, right? Isn't what the Gemara says?
Or imagine you never do anything
before
death.
Right? So, he says, like, it's mind, I'm a nichle, I'm a nichle, I'm a nichle, I'm a nichle, he's dead, what do we care? I'm a nichle, I'm a nichle, I'm a nichle, I'm a nichle, I'm a nichle. But then a guy who's really, who's buying it, because his purpose is that he wants to be known as an honest person, so even though he's dead, he wants to die as an honest person. The Gemara says, therefore, nichle, I'm a nichle, the Gemara says, again, but sof, carry the banner, b'nei gazlana. Even have you look at it, if the reason why he doesn't call the gazlan, doesn't mean that he's dead, because now the guy's going to run around calling his children, the sons of a gazlan. So that stigma of being a gazlan is going to stick with you. So he says, Ele ike banai. So what's the real nafkuna? The Yahave b'matana. That he gave it as the Yahave matana. What does it mean over here? Right? That the Yahave b'matana, right? That the gazlan gave it to the nigzal as a matan, as to on the other hand, the guy says no. The nafkin is when he didn't sell it to a lokach, he gave it to somebody as a gift. So if he gives you something, so you're going to call me a gazlan? What did I steal from you? And what did it cost you? It cost you nothing. I gave you a free gift. Just shut up and say thank you. Mm-hmm. Right? And then the guy who, Teleka Behimnuta, wants to be known as an honest guy, and even a guy who gave a gift, which is stolen, he still wants the guy who received the gift to think he's an honest guy and appreciate that he did his best and he gave him a nice gift, which was really his. Mm-hmm. So in a case like this, it'd be a real nafkamina. Because if I gave it to you, if a gazlan gave something as a gift, so even though the guy who got the gift currently bad-mouthed him because he got it for free, but it still shows his integrity when he gave something which was really his. So if he went to buy it, right, those would show signs that what his intentions. Those are enough between the two different types of ones. Okay. The Gemara says like this now. We're carrying on in this line of thinking, right, with regards to a guy who stole. And then he had a change of heart, and he bought it back, trying to understand what were his motives. So he was a pshita, it's pashut that if he sold it to somebody else, look at Rashi, zavna orta or bequeathed it from the word lahorish, right? The taf and the shinya interchange. So orta means orsha, right? He bequeathed it, or v'yave matana, we gave it to somebody else as a gift, right? So look at Rashi here, zavna orta im. Kodem shelakach min ha'baalim, if before he had paid the Baalim for the money, he had sold it now to a third party, right? He sold it to Chaim. Before
he sold it to the first guy.
He sold it. Exactly. That's what the Gemara says, Pshita. He sold it to Chaim. Right? Now, before he goes and pays the Baalim, Chazar u'machel ishach, he sold it to somebody else again. No, he was a Gazlan. What do you care? So he sold it to him, and now he sold it to him. Okay? We know we're not dealing with the most honest guy in the world, yeah? Right? Levad bin Arishul, other than the first guy, or Horishul le'echad mibanav, or he bequeathed to one of his after he already sold it. Right? Or Yahavah b'matan, he gave it as a gift to somebody after he sold it to somebody else. V'achar kach, and after one of these things, lakcha hai, right, he then went to buy it to pay the original owners. Vadai igle date delav le'ukme kame le'lokeach rishon bai. He wasn't doing it to help the first guy at all, because he had really essentially stolen it from the second, from the first guy. He had sold it to somebody else, or bequeathed it to somebody else in his will, or had given it as a gift to somebody else, even though it's with the lokeach. Right? V'lo nichadei lelikum b'imnuta sharei machar sharei. Now we don't care over here. It's clear to us over here, he wasn't making any efforts for the first guy. He doesn't really care about him at all, not trying to show any integrity whatsoever. That's what it says, pshita. So that machloket over there, of Rav Ashi, who said that he wanted to delay kubim nut, he wanted to show his integrity, or it was Ashi and it was Rav Huna, right?
Marzutra,
right? I'm a nichel ad lo nikra gavin called the gazdan. He doesn't care about any of these things. Lav look when kama lokeach kabay. What about another case? What happens if nafle be Yerusha? What happens if he started from a guy who read from his father? His father was the nigzal. And now his father died and inherited it. So now what do we say? Right? Look at Rashi. Naflele le gazlan berusha she mitchila gazla leechad mi morisha v'meita nigza. For he originally started from a guy who was going to bequeath it to many. Maybe it was his grandfather and they weren't parents in the picture. Maybe his whatever. It was his father and they whatever. So like what says, Yerusha imelehi v'lav iu ketarach abatra. Right? So the Yerusha doesn't prove anything. Because not like he went and made efforts as a Gemara to try and get it so that he could, you know, make good for the guy he sold to. Rashi used, look at Rashi, it's the bottom line. He's in a case like this. In the original question we asked, if a guy goes and buys it back from the Nigzal, can he now, as the new owner, the entitled owner, go and claim it back from his lokeach and get him off the field? There we said no. Because really, what was he making all the efforts for? The efforts were either to not be called the gazlan, or because he really wanted to show his integrity with the guy who he sold it to. But here, we said also, it's pashut if he give it to somebody else, or if he inherited, or if he bequeathed it to somebody else, or if he sold it to somebody else, and he went and paid back, then that's not the purpose of what it was. But the other Gemara says, if he inherited it, he didn't make any efforts to go in and get this property his to then use one of Rav Marzutra or Rav Ashi's answers. So here says Rashi, yeah, he can. If you go to the field, really, he can go to the guy he sold it from. This is grounds to unravel the deal. Just now, you got to pay him back. Listen, you paid me, here's the money, get off. It's not your field. I inherited it from that guy. I stepped in his shoes. And it's as if the original owner is now coming and claiming the land back. And I've got to constant restitute you, no problem. He gives me back the money. Right, they can do. What about Gabi Ihu Bechovo? What happens if he went to the credit, to the Nigzal, and the Nigzal owed him money, and he claimed the land in lieu of a debt owing to him? Is this also efforts that he made, and then it fits into one of Adam Azutra or Rav Ashi's answers that he wanted to do good with the lokeach, with the buyer, or he didn't want to be called a gazlan? Right? Is that the same story? So he says, Chazina, if the Nigzal has got other lands. In other words, if the Nigzal's got other land, and therefore he could have claimed his debt to be repaid from other lands, the Gemara forgets or ignores for a moment that there's a case between this Gazlan and Nigzal now on the fact that he already stole land from him, correct? Mm-hmm. He's busy suing him in court, but now he's busy negotiating him to pay back his debt. So Gemara said, we look if he's got other lands. If the Nigzal's got other lands, which he could have claimed the other lands from to pay back his debt. Then we say that if he's got other lands and he dafka wanted this land, Why did he want this land that he had stolen to be an offset against his debt? Because, yeah, he really was concerned about the guy that he has sold it to. Ve'ilo, and if the guy hasn't got other lands, then what else, what other option did the Gazlan have to offset his debt, right? He only had this land, so this proves nothing about his intentions with regard to the guy that he had sold the land to. In other words, ve'ilo, zuzehu debai yafrui, yavaniale, sorry, debai ifrui. Okay, so that is another way of another scenario there as well. If this was the only lands that he had, then we say, no, really just all he wanted to do was just offset the debt because he wanted his money. He didn't care so much about the other guy. Right, with regards to the question, could he therefore now go in and take it away? Maybe yes. Are you with me? Look at Rashi. Says, the other lands, and he could have got his debt offset there. I want this one specifically. Why? Because I tarach abatri, I mean, I'll okme kame lokeach bike. So you want it for the lokeach. Okay, so that's another situation. Another scenario. Yava nihale b'matana. Look at Rashi says, who gave the matana to who? The nigzal gave the land to the gazlan as a gift. Now, I don't know if there was some sort of backstory here or behind the scenes, which you don't know what's going on over here, or he just thought, you know what, I'm not interested in court and in costs. The only guys making money here really are the lawyers, and I'm wasting much time and it's ruining my life, and I want to just get it over with. You know, have it as a gift, it's yours. And he gives it to the gazlan and he walks away and he abandons all rights. So now, Pligi Baravach Rabina. So now the question is, getting it as a gift, is this his now and he can go now and chuck out the original buyer? Or can't he? So Pligi Baravach Rabina Charama Matana Kirusha, Dahami Mela. So once it's like Yerusha, we saw with Yerusha, you can. Mm-hmm. Right? Because Yerusha, what did you do? It made it happen by itself. You made no effort to try and persuade us that you already had good intentions. Just popped into your lap. One says a matan is like a meche, right? And a meche means that when you bought it like we saw originally, right? We said there was a question that Shmuel asked Rav, and Rav said when you buy something, you're buying all the rights you sold. You already sold all the rights you would be entitled to in the future. And therefore now, if you got it as a gift, and a gift is like a meche, you acquired all the rights that you had previously sold. So you wouldn't be able to touch anything. The original deal now between you and the client would be a good deal, and you've reinstated and you've done everything good. He loved the tarach va'artze kamei. He says, because if he didn't make any efforts, va'artze kamei, I think artze via Rashi, I thought I saw a Rashi that says, that he like argued in front of him. Anybody see a Rashi via? I didn't actually mark up my Rashis yesterday. I saw something like that. But I think Artsy means like he argued with him, like he whatever, right?
Exerted himself to find favor with the owner.
Okay, from Artsy, okay. From Nitratzot. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, Nitratzot, in other words, he implored him. That would be a good way of saying, like he implored him, right? Come, he wouldn't give him the gift. He didn't just get it done, he actually made efforts. Lahachi tarach. And that's why he made all these efforts. Like he made efforts to find favor, like you said. Because you really, what was he about? I haven't got the money, but give me the land, please. I sold this land and I'm feeling bad about it. The guy said, okay, yeah, here's the gift. Take the land, go feel good about yourself. Okay, so that's all those different discussions over there about these stories. I think that what for me stands out is this concept that the Gazlan, it's a case of Ratzachta v'yarashta, you know? You know, like a guy who kills his parents and then comes to ask mercy from the court because he's an orphan.
Mm.
You know, or so suddenly over here, he stole the field, sold it to somebody, now he buys it back from the guy to go and chuck the guy he sold it off from. You know, and we actually spent, look how much time we spent. We spent almost 3/4 of an amud discussing. We saw that in certain scenarios he would be able to do that. He have to pay the guy back always. But the rights that would be acquired would be proper rights. So now the Gemara says, how long do we say that this guy's busy trying to maintain or to present himself as a man of integrity? In other words, how long is it, like let's say he buys the land, ultimately buys the land, and we paskin like Rav that says that when he buys the land, he bought it in order that the sale was a good sale. Over what period of time? Is it within a week of him having sold and started and sold, or within a year, whatever case? So the Gemara gives a quite an intricate answer. So I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Achat Hamada Bedin. Rav Huna says, until he's eventually brought to din. Look at Rashi. Achat Yitrafua min alokeach v'yamideu bedin. Until, as long as it took for the proceedings, for the nigzal, right, to chop that field back from the seller, from the buyer that he had sold it to. Ava Misha Mad Berisho. But from the moment Rashi says that he's established that he's a wicked guy, Ad Shata Amada Bedin, in that period of time, in other words, prior to the actual judgment date, Gali Adate Delo Meheiman Hu V'im Lakcha Acharechen Lav Luk Mekame Lokeach Bai. So what's the other way around? Birisho Ad Shata Amada Bedin Gali Adate Ava Misha Amad Birisho Ad Shata Amada Bedin. Oh, so once he's been convicted, but until the actual time of prosecution, of a lakra prosecution or whatever they were, actually the din is given, right? So he's been found guilty, and now they've got to actually do all the stuff. In that moment of time, wouldn't help him. Chia Barava Amar Adamata Adrachte Lidei. Rav Chia Barava says, no, it's a longer period of time even. Adamata, remember the Adrachte, we saw Adrachte the day as well. He says that the Adrachta is there was a psak din that he's got to pay back the Gazlan, right? He's got to reinstate the money to the guy that he's bought from. Sorry, not the Gazlan, the Lokach. Actually, Beitin found him guilty, he's got to go and repay back the Lokach. And then he didn't pay back the money. Actually, then Beitin eventually wrote a psak din. And they gave the buyer of the land the right to go and like a search. There's like a search, or there's a word for it. Actually, think about it last time. What's it called when you have like when you caught is like a search?
Warrant.
Like, but it's, no, but it's more than that. Like they give you, you can go and do a search around the whole world and see what assets he's got. Come on, Robert, you don't remember that anymore. Eh? There's we need David here. Where's David? We need any other. So there's a term
David
for
it. David would know that.
Eh? David would know
David
that.
David would know that.
That's what David spends most of his time dealing with, defending them. Okay? So, says, wherever they can find land, yachzik bahen. And how long is this, says Rashi? Tishim yom la'acha shamad bedin. It's in Baba Kama there, we learned in Kuf Yud Bet, in Agoza. So, we see a couple of opinions. Rav Huna said, to Akshah Madab bedin. Rav Chia says, Bar Rava says, an extra 90 days. Rav Papa Amar, ad de mitchilan yome achrasta. Rav Papa's even later, until they actually start the achrasta. Remember, we saw this about the camera as well. Or no, we saw it, I don't know where it was. Look, Rashi, la'acha shematza zekarka. Once they found the land, Michel Gazla, the Gazla, Nubala Beitin, he comes to Beitin now, with after that Adrachti goes and he does a search, he finds land. He's now got to go through a process of 30 days of declaring every day of Sundays and Thursdays, Mondays and Thursdays, whatever mockers, they shout out, they publicize, like you'd have published like in the government gazette or local papers, right, if anybody's got claims on those lands. So the one opinion is until Din. One opinion is 90 days later, the other one is another 30 days. Okay, so it's basically between Din and 120 days. Now, Matkid, Rabbi Bracham also kasha, he's like, Michti, I look out, but my kani, lai ara, bai shtara, hai shtara chasuba amu. So I don't understand. We make such a fuss about the guy who bought the field. But what did he really buy? His contract was like a pshat of cheres. It was worthless. Mm-hmm. What's going on over here? Right? Look at Rashi here. Rashi, Machler Rebekah, aha, ma, machari shon l'sheini. What the guy's insulted to the buyer. He says, I'm going to have a tehebi b'amino. He says, no. There was a contract here. Why was the contract? Because he says, Tehe, as far as Rav is concerned, right? Because Rav says that it's a deal. He says, Tehe, Bama Amino. It was something which he did. She Amar lo, Ani Somech Alecha Shetidene Biadi. There was an understanding, an element of Emuna between them. The guy bought it, says, I'm trusting you. And he said, yes, you can trust me. Bahu, right? I'm going to have Tehe, Bama Amino. Bahahu Hana'a, Delo Kamale Midi. The Kasamechale. So he says, well, I don't understand. The whole question we asked here with regards to Rav and Shmuel, where the guy went and bought it back from the guy. And Rav says that no, whatever he sold his future rights. And now when he went and bought, paid the Gazlan back for the land, the Nigzal back for the land, it's already sold on. He asks over here, the Kasha over here, he says, what are you talking about, Rav? he sold on all the future rights that he had. That was a fictitious sale. It was a sale that had nothing in it. It was an empty sale. What do you mean he sold the future rights? He says, no, there was. The fact that he had sold from the faith that the buyer had in the seller, that he would make every effort to ensure that it was his land, that was the underwriting sort of establishment of the contract. And Matri Vashayshet, Vashayshet also Kasha. A guy says, now remember, now we enter into the subject over here of Maknet Avashlo Baal Olam. Because what is he essentially selling? He says he hasn't got yet. And Rav says, no, but when he gets it, it was sold. He's selling what he will get in the future. This is a big sugya. I looked in the Orach Chaim. The Orach Chaim quotes Dav Yudza. There's Orach Chaim about this. He refers over here, by the way, we're making a shvua from with in Pasha Toldot. And he quotes the Daf Yud Zayin, and he quotes the Rivash, which argues with the Baal HaTurim. And he wants to say that a shvua helps in a davar shemakshid lo baal olam. That's why when Yaakov and Esav, when he sold him the birthright, he says vayishaval la vayishaval lo. Remember, it said that they made shvua to each other. What was the shvua? Because really, what was Esav selling him? Esav was selling Yaakov his birthright. But when was his birthright going to come into effect? Only after Yitzchak died. So at the moment, he had nothing, correct? He was selling him a future. We don't think about that, but that's what the birthright, he was sold the future to Yaakov. Now, how do you do Makne Davar Shebaal HaOlam? So my father will say, Avida Da'atu. I knew, I've got you there, I was in before you, right? So he said, Avida Da'atu, it's certainly going to happen. Why is it? Because we started with him, he's at the beginning of this year, everyone's going to die. Okay? But how do you know that by the time you die, that your father dies, that what your birthright was is actually still available? You don't know. So he might have sold all those things to somebody else, or who knows what the story is. So you can't go and sell birthrights. Okay. So we'll get there. Right. But this is the whole source for the Salat of Makne Davar Shulam. So he says Mashi Rash Abba Machulach. If a guy says that what my father will inherit will bequeath me, is sold to you. Masha talem, it's do whatever I've got in my trap, whatever food, and I'll catch I'm going to give to you. Machur, like a sold to you. Lo amar klum. It was just words. Masha irash min abba hayom. But his father's goses and dying, he's going to die today. So what I inherit today, machur, like he's sold to you. Or masha talem, it's what I find in my trap today is yours. Machur, like. Tvarav Kayamim. Right, so look at the Rashi Aviyah. Matki Rami Bar Chama. Aha, ma machar rishon l'shayni. Nanagama makne. Mitzudot. No. So that was the, we already answered that question. The Matki Rav Shesh asked another question. He says, I don't understand. He says, if we're still on this question, how could he sell what wasn't his? We see that you could only sell what isn't yours if you sold what you're going to inherit today, what you're going to trap today, not in the future. Now this Gazlan, when he sold the field, it wasn't like it was he's going to get it today. All these cases we had over here, if he was given it as a gift by the Nigzal, or if he inherited from the Nigzal, or if he paid from the Nigzal, it wasn't going to happen today. So again, we go back to our question, the sale that he made, what was the sale? It was a future without any definite date, any definite time. It was meaningless. So Rabbi Rachama gets very excited, and he says, this is a big kashia over here. He says, Aha Gavra, the guy who asked the kashia, right, in who was it? Mativ Rav Sheshet. So Rav Chama says Rav Sheshet is a gavra, and it's a tiyufta on Rav. So I'm a Rav. Rav says like this: Gavra kechasin. I see the great man. I see Rav Sheshet, but tiyufta lo kechasin. I don't see any kashya over here. What Rav said, right? See the cynicism here in the ground. He says gavra. I see, but tiyufta. Hachesam chedatei vachelosam chedatei. See how you compare the two. In the one is smichu da'at. Now this is a very fundamental principle in sales. What is samche da'at? The whole when we do a chalifin, right? What's the whole idea of a masi chalifin? What, you got a car in Timbuktu, and we're standing now in my lounge in Tel Mond, and you pick up, I pick up your scarf. Or my scarf, it's machloket. Whose is it? We'll see that as well. Whose is it? The seller's scarf or the buyer's scarf? When I pick up a scarf, I buy a car in Timbuktu. What's going on over here? That is what's called smichu da'at. You know, there's intention. We're showing what the real intent of it's confirming intention. Right. So he says, no, in the one case, smichadat, ha samchadat, right? So he says over here, v'achelo samchadat, how do you compare the two? Right? In the case of hacha samchadat, here in the case of the guy who bought the field that the gazan had stolen, samchadat, da'azil tarach umayti leik, yechi delo nikre gazlana. He knows the guy doesn't want to be called the gazlan, therefore he believes that this guy won't want to be called the gazlan, and he'll do everything in his power to go and get that field back. Vahacha, in this case of the guy setting it to wherever I find in my trap, whatever I inherit one day, lo samchadate. That's not necessarily samchadate. How does that prove any intention? Look at Rashi. Lo samchadate, the very, very last narrow lines of Rashi there. Lo samchadate de lokeach. This doesn't put the buyer at rest. The kamar mi yeimar shiyeresh aviv klum shema yimkor aviv nechasa b'chayav. I don't know that you'll inherit anything. Maybe your father will, I don't know, go on a spending spree before he dies and sell out and leave you nothing. Right? So they're two different things altogether. So then the Gemara says like this now. They sent this question to Rabbi Zava Bar Avda. So Amar Lehu, so Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda says, this question, zo eina tshicha lifnim. Doesn't need to be brought inside. Look at Rashi. This is important, please. Even though you guys don't look in the Rashi, look in the Rashi. Second wide down of Rashi. What do you say over here? Eina tricha lifnim. Eina tricha kedai letarza lachnisa lifnei b'nei yeshiva. You don't have to. This is such an obvious question, says Rashi. You don't have to bring it into the Beit Midrash to ask the Talmidim the question. Why? She'ein bahen yodea lepirka. Rashi says that it's such a good question, no one will know how to answer it, therefore don't bring it in. Rashi got a second answer. Sorry, I got confused in my mind now. The Tshuvata Go'onim, says Rashi, Porshin Lignai. They say it's insulting. The Leika Kushi Amalia, Alta Lua Legav. Such a poor question. What do you bring that midrash for? It's pashut. So Rashi's first question is, no, it's such a good question, nobody will know how to answer it. Second explanation is, it's such a bad question, it's not even worth bringing, everyone knows the answer. Right? V'amale Abai, and Abai says, on the contrary, tshicha lifnim, v'lifnai lifnim. He says, that's a play on the words of the Kodesh HaKodashim, right? Lifnai v'lifnim. Not only does it need it, he says, on the contrary, it should be brought in. He says like this, hache samchedate, hache lo samchedate. So then that's it basically gives the answer that we've already seen before. Bring it in. Then that's, this is the answer. Everybody knows the answer is a different commit. It's not a good kashia. In the case of the gazlan, he's going to make any effort that he can. In the case of the selling something in the futures, who knows what's going to be. So now the Gemara asks a question. Umashna reisha, umashna
say. You skipped, Aaron.
Did I skip? Basically, we saw in Gemara that the same machloket of Rabbi Abba and Rav Yosef and Abaya took place in Pumpedita. The same story. Thank you. So now, hachelos samchadad. Umashna, the Gemara says, mashna esh umashna seifa. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? Because in the Reisha we said, in that Mati Rav Sheshit, he said, Mashi Rash Abba Macholach, Mashtale Mitzurati Macholach, Lo Amar Klum. If he just gives a blanket statement, it's not a deal. But if he says, today Dafka, it is a good sale. Why? What's the difference between the two, says the Gemara? And Rabbi Yochanan, Sefer, Mashi Rash Me Abba Hayom, Mishum Kvod Aviv, Mashtale Mitzurati Hayom, Mishum Kidei Chayav. Says what the difference is, that when a guy says his father's dying on his deathbed, he says, whatever I inherit today, I'm going to sell to you. It's because of Kvod Aviv. He needs the money. Look at Rashi at the bottom, the very last Rashi. Keshi Aviv Goses. His father's there lying on his deathbed. V'tzarich matik, he needs money to pay for the funeral. U'letachrichin, and for burial clothing. Muzar lichvod aviv shlo yeshoto b'bizayon. He's warned. In other words, there's an implicit warning that he don't leave his father lying in a state of degradation and humiliation. Therefore, it's clear that whatever he gets, he's going to sell. He needs to raise money today. And the same thing, whatever he finds in his trap today, he's going to be caught. Why? Because he's living off that. He needs to sell what he found, Dave, because he has to live. A guy like, a sale like that, you can believe a guy. But he just says, whatever I inherit one day down the line, like, no one's going to die, right? So he's 60 years old today, 61 today, right? This is the week of 61s. Yesterday was Robert, today Ari Silverman, too, right? Everyone's turning 61. So when they're 60, they're going to live for another, I don't know, till 120. How long? 59 more years. So what's the rush? Right, so therefore, you, in a cell like that, you can't take it. Okay. And Amarav, Huna, Amarav, another halacha over here. Now, same idea. The guzzlin's buying stuff back. Amarav, Haomila Chaberu Sadeh Shani Lokeach Lekeshikachena Kenu Yelach Mi Achshav. He says to a guy. Now he's not a guzzlin there, but it's the same on similar relations. He says, I'm going to buy this field. He says, but he doesn't say which field. He says, Sadeh Shani Lokeach. I'm buying a field. When I buy it, it's yours. And not only is it yours, I'm buying it for you from today, from now, from this moment. Look at Rashi, it's yours, and he can't change his mind. Right? Kana. Rashi says, he can't change his mind, it's a done deal. So Rav says, this this halachi of Rav's would seem to me. And only when he said a stam a sadeh. Look at Rashi, sadeh shani lokeach, v'lo amar zo. He never said particularly this. The sam chedati the mekabel matal lismoch alav sheikach sadeh v'yidnele lo sheharbei sadot mitziyot likach. Because the guy said he believed him, because there are lots of fields for sale, right? Aval, look at Rashi, v'lo amar lo sadeh zo. But if he said, this field that I buy is yours, lo sam chedati, then the mekabel matana didn't really have any real intention of getting it. Right, lo sa wadat demekal matana, v'lo he minu, and he didn't really believe him. The name nichele deleiku b'nutle to believe that the guy's going to do whatever he can to prove what an honest guy is. V'lo mistabek v'den Rav behind, and therefore he says when Rav said that it's kanui, it wasn't referring in Rav's mind to a specific field. Because how do we know that that guy want to sell that field? How do you be able to have afford to pay for that field? But if he said, I'll buy you a field, any field it might be okay, right? Lo, why? Gemara explains. Who knows if he'll even sell the field to him? However, says Rav of Elohim. Rashi like b'shvur, right? Rav Amar Afilu b'said. Really, Amar Afilu b'said ezo. He says the Rav says it would appear to me no, but really Rav said it applies across the board. The Gemara is like is Namichti Rav Kaman Amar Leshmate. Who's Rav hold like? Gemara says Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir say? Tamar Adam Makne Davar Shelo Bale Olam. And we quote over here our Gemara, which we saw in Yevamot, in Kiddushin, in Ketubot. All the Gemara's there. The Tanya, Omer li shai tikdish li'achar shi'et kayer. If you say to a woman, marry me after I convert, l'achar shi'et after you convert, l'achar shi'et ishtachrer, after I become a free slave, l'achar shi'et after you become a free slave, l'achar shi'et amut palech, after your husband dies, l'achar shi'et achlots, after you do chalitza lach, or Yevamech, after Yevamech does chalitza to you, l'achar shi'et amut lachotech, after your sister dies. Remember, you can marry somebody after their sister dies, right? You married to their sister. Say to the woman, I left to Kiddushin now, after your sister dies, we married, right? So, Ela Mekodeshet. Tanakama Chachamim says, you know, because Rabbi Meir says Mekodeshet. Rabbi Meir says, no, in all these cases, you are Mekodeshet. Vahaisha Kasadezu Damia. Vahama Rabbi Meir Mekodeshet. So that's what Rabbi says. No, Rabbi says that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Meir. And therefore, he would say that that this would be a good deal and it would work even if it was a general field. Ama Shmuel. Shmuel says, I'm watching Shtarak Nabashuk. Now that Lochiam, and Shreff is just quickly running out of time. Oh, far past. Shul today, far past. Anybody here go to Shul?
Darren, why in these cases they're not asked where the sinner should first know Rishut? In the case
say that again, say that again. I never missed the question.
Why do they not ask about Rishut? Because it's not only the Vashilo Bal Olam, it's not in his possession. The sister is possessed by the brother or whoever else it is.
He's not, so but that's the whole thing. He's doing a Kiddushin future. He's doing a future deal.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I'm saying...
He's saying this whole Kiddushin is on Tanai. So I don't have to ask you.
What was the case with Esav and Yaakov? He bought the rights. You can sell the rights. It doesn't mean the rights are going to be X in value or whatever, because you don't know what in the future.
Because that's a machloket. That's a machloket. Tanakama said you can't sell the rights. You can't do the future. Tanakama agrees like you for whatever the reason is. He says that doesn't work. Rabbi Meir is the one who says it does work. Why? Because Rabbi Meir says makne davar shelo ba'olam. At the moment, the opportunity doesn't even exist yet. But so what? We're not dealing with it now. We're dealing with the future. In the future, it would exist.
Even if you want to say that, then if the object is owned by somebody else at that point in time, then how can he do the transaction? Even if he's got the future.
Because he's not doing a transaction, he's setting a future. I can come into your house and I can do a deal with your children and you went on to
you. So you said Mekudeshet before, like we just
said Mekudeshet when your husband dies. Or Mekudeshet when your sister dies.
Is that the halakha?
No.
No, you can't do that.
Right? All the Gemara says, "Yeah, and a Mekudeshet." Rabbi Meir or Meir Mekudeshet. Vayishah because there's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi says, "Rav held like Rabbi Meir, but it's not like that." I'm not talking about that. Let's quickly run through the next. I'm Shmuel. I'm what is Shtar Hakna'ah? But remember, we saw this Shtar Hakna'ah already. Shtar Hakna'ah was the type of a document even before you had received the money, you'd already accepted responsibility for the guarantee, correct? And you believed the guy, you trusted him, whatever the case was. That was Ashtar. Shibet. Inish nafshe, we said this, I explained it, right? So Rashi says, yeah, shekanoi menu shafir lo yilve ha-machi yibet ha-tzvore shalom, right? So now it says, Avihari Shmuel, ha-machi shtarak na-bashuk, yachzul le-bari, you're going to give it back to the body, you find it. Te-ibishum de-katav lilvot v'lo lavak. If it says that he'll let him, he didn't borrow the money, ha-shibet nafshe, the guy already was responsible. V'mishum pirani, and says Shmuel, we saw this already the other day, right? And you done it. And says Shmuel that if it's because you worry about Piraon, so Shmuel said, Lo chashir, we don't worry about if a guy's paid the not. Why? De'im ita de pare, if he paid, mikra have karele, he should have torn it up. So we don't care. So I'm Rav Nachman, Abba, it's Rav Nachman says, like, this is amazing. Remember, Rav Nachman says, Abba, my father, means safre dayane de mar Shmuel hava. Rav says, my father was a sofer of Shmuel, the baiting of Shmuel. Vahavina kfar, listen to the kibar, listen to that. I was kibar shita, kibar sheva. I was 6 or 7 years old. Udacharnan, I remember. Right? The havu machrezei v'amre, and they'd shout out. The sofrim would come and they'd make declarations. Hane shtare aknaita de mishtakche b'shuka nahadrinu lemarayu. He'd say, all these documents that were found in the shuk of what? Return them to their owners. So Rav Amram says, Af Anan Nami, the Bach has the word Nami Tanina, Ko Maase Beitin, Hareze Yachzir, any starot of Maase Beitin, Rashi says, yeah, Maase Beitin, what's Maase Beitin? It says, Kasal Kedatach, Rashi, the moment we're going to see it's not there, but the Havamina is what? Star Shekatabo Henpek, in other words, the Star Mekuya, right? That Star that the Beitin had already authenticated, and look at Rashi says, Ein Mekaimin at Ashtar Elbifnei Baal Din, Kamin Baal Gozle, Piron Lo Chashina. And Baba Kami saw that. So therefore, if it's a star that's a henpeck, that's a mekuyam, then we know it's a valid star. So therefore, I'm a lochashin le piraon. We don't wear piraon. A lochashin like Shmuel. This is the proof that we bring over here. And we see that both Rav Nachman says, remembers his father saying, give it back. And we've got, and Rav Amram says, he also remembers, he's got a brighter that says, kol maaseh beitin, anything you I'm a lochashin le piraon. So I'm a Rabbi Zaira. So Rabbi Zaira says, I want to let you know, for the record, he says, our case that we're speaking about over here is not talking about a henpeck star. A magnitin beshitre chiltata v'adrachta. Remember, we spoke about adrachta earlier on, right? And adrachta is that after the guy's already been summoned and the Beitin's proven that he owes money, we give his creditor rights to go and search and seize. I think that's what it's called, the document. A search and seize. Right? It's called a warrant of search and seize. Right, to find how do they call it in English, by the way, adrachta? Anybody got English there for adrachta?
Seizure warrant.
Seizure warrant, okay. Yeah, I just popped into my head now that second. Search and seize, right? Right? Adrachta, the lab and epironinu. And those aren't documents even pay on money. That's what we're speaking about. You can't tell me that we aren't choshes lepira on. And the documents we speak about over here are chiltitav adrachta, that there's no money on them. It's to go and find land. So I'm a Rav, honey, love b'nei pironi. A Rav said, what do you mean the on b'nei pironi nu? Va amre in a hard day. In a hard day, we said, shuma hadar atresa yarche shata. That this appraisal, right? He says, shurik sheshamu beitin lebaal chov karka halove. When they appraised to a creditor what the debtor owes in the money, hadar atresa yarche shata. He could 13 months to get it back, 12 months. And Rameimer said, I'm from the heart. The sphere lead, the Shuma Hadal Olam, that you aren't limited, you're good forever. There's no prescription. Why there could you claim them back? Because that's his money. So Amra Ihu, who the Afsila Nafshe? He said, why? You see, he agrees that it has got a monetary value, but he says there's a different reason there why he could get it back. Not because it's a Masya Beitin. With those documents that you're speaking about, he says, He says there, he was it was his own negligence. He caught, brought this own loss upon himself. Why? The moment that he paid back, he should have torn it up. Or it seems like when a creditor takes money for, takes land back from a guy who owes him money and he pays him the money, he bought the land from him. He should have got a new contract buying the land back from him. The Medina says, Medina, never to give the land back. It's only because of Vasita Yashar Betov and Elohim Vadam. I'm going to stop over here. We'll carry on. We'll fine tune that tomorrow.